This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to Bridgezone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Well, you, day two of the peers, according to Richard Solomon's write-up on NZB website.
I mean, the big news is, of course, making the cut in the teams. Good effort. They made the final, the top eight. Final didn't go so well for them. Something to be happy about is making the final.
That has to be one of the goals to make, isn't it? Is making the final. So congratulations to them.
Well, that's probably the main event that they're there for. I guess it was mission accomplished up till then.
Yeah. Leon and Michael and Zach and Lysandra made it to the A finals in the pairs. That's pretty good. And Alex and Kevin were in the B final where they finished fourth. So that's pretty cool.
It was indeed. So, good experience for all of them. I hear you were at the Cambridge Sixers on the weekend.
That was their 13th year. Superstition, I'll tell you what, the team from Howick, the Voodoo Dolls, were awesome. Their dress up was amazing. 13 years it's been going.
Unlucky for some. So the winning team was the Yin Yang team, which was Yuzhong Chen and Herman Wan, Graham Saunders and John Little, Bernard Sullivan and Noel Sullivan. And they won by quite a way, 13 VPs in the end.
Yeah, well, Herman and Yuzhong won the Open. John and Graham won the intermediate. So you have to be a pretty tight team to beat that.
You would indeed. Anyway, yeah. So they had, was it 32 teams in the end? Not a bad sort of a turnout.
Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow. And left.
Good morning, Ross. We're back in the gin world.
Hey, morning, Mariana. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. It's not morning. Mariana is making that up. We're actually talking to Ross late at night. We had to wait for him to finish his session of bridge online at Levin this morning.
You should have said that, Barry, because we could have said gin anybody and gone on that Ross at 8:30 in the morning is having a rusty nail.
Rusty nail.
He's having a rusty nail. Anybody know what a rusty nail is? Just email it into bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Any results from the Cambridge Sixers over the weekend? Were you in attendance?
No, we didn't go down for that. Had something else, a family thing to do, so didn't go. Well, the intermediate winners were Graham Saunders and John Little, the Waikato lads. They were actually part of the winning team. And if you recall, they also won the Mount Maunganui Intermediate a few weeks ago. Yeah, so they're having a little golden trot, which is lovely. They were ahead of Darren Old and Jim Buckland from Franklin. Juniors, Neville Mercer and Paul Carpenter from the Cambridge Bridge Club, followed by Adrian West and Omar Dada from Papatoetoe. Apparently it was a very, very good tournament. Those that I've spoken to on Sunday really enjoyed it.
It was a fun tournament. Our team won 4 raffles.
That's obscene.
I know, it is. And we also got 2nd in the quiz, so we got a box of chockies each as well.
Well done. The Levin Swiss tournament last Thursday, top intermediate pair was Deirdre Oliver from East Coast Bays and her partner.
At the what tournament?
Levin Swiss online.
They had another win.
Well, it was a weird one because on the night, Deirdre and I came in 4th place. So we were pretty chuffed about that. But then overnight, we were relegated from 4th to 6th. And I'm not quite sure how that happened. The judge's decision is final. 11 tables, which was pretty good for a Thursday. On Sunday, I went to the Auckland Regional Hui up at the
Hui. Oh, of course,
and you got to speak.
Mr. Jin had a 5-minute spot, supposed to be 1 minute, but I said, that's going to be impossible. You never stop me talking in 1 minute. Just on the Bridge Zone, which was really good. We had really good presentations from Kate Terry on marketing. The whole thing was well run by Hamish Brown. And then we had Julie speaking about her stuff that she talks about.
Fair play committee.
The Fair Play Committee, yeah. And then Richard Bland gave a really nice balanced presentation on the challenges of club directing, most of which directors are playing direct, and the challenges of doing that. And that was a really good presentation. He gave a really nice handout to everybody. So it was a lovely day. Nice food, Hibiscus Coast with great hosts. It was really enjoyable.
And what about this rumour that I've heard that I've been spreading around that I told Mariana earlier today?
What rumour is that?
Well, I was telling her about how Jack James got 209 B points this year. I heard that you were going to try and hunt him down this year.
Barry, that is patently ridiculous. How the hell is an old fart like me going to hunt down Jack James? Come on.
Well, I'm pleased that you asked, because some people, they may have noticed, I certainly had. I said last week how far it was from Warkworth to Whakatane. Well, I tell you what, it's nowhere near as far as it is from Warkworth to Upper Hutt. And I've seen the Gin Man is playing in the Upper Hutt 8B later on.
That's a distinct possibility that I could be doing a little cameo appearance there, Larry. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. My sister's 80th birthday.
Is that your younger sister, Ross?
That's the one. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. New people, different people, some of whom I know from online. So it'll be great to catch up with the people that we've met online down there.
One of the great things about Bridge, isn't it? If you're going away anywhere for the weekend, if you time it right, there'll be some bridge to be played while you're there.
That's exactly
right. Well done, Ross.
My sister was planning to have her function on the Sunday, and I said, well, why don't we make it Saturday and leave the Sunday clear? And that's the day the Bridge tournament was on. So you're not wrong, Barry.
What a terrible brother you are.
I know, absolutely disgusting.
Ross, we've had the Upper Hutt Bridge Club on the Bridge Zone before. When they had their Jubilee year back in 2019, Ross,
right,
we spoke to a lady that was involved in the Jubilee for their 50th.
She's going to be 7 years older now, though.
When you go there and can say to them,
yep,
the Bridge Zone remembers Jubilee back in 2019 as the feature.
And when we had somebody from the club on the show.
For a little bit extra in the gin world. Feel a bit naughty, Ross.
Why is that, Mariana?
Because Barry's not on the call. It's just me and you.
Well, that's good. We can talk about him a wee bit. Now, I've got a problem because on Thursday I entered in a tournament and my partner, Deirdre, can't play. And I'm too frightened to ask Barry because I know that once again, for about the fourth time, I'll be rejected. So, Mariana, how about you stumping up for him like others have had to do in the past and play with me on Thursday?
Anything to dig the nails into Barry's back again. I get it. He is super busy. Actually, I have a new nickname.
What is that?
I am now Luna.
Luna?
Yep. I've gone and formally adopted all the youth in New Zealand into my wolf pack. And we're called the Bridge Wolves. Every single youth player in the country is now one of our little wolves, or you could even call them a pup. But I'm going to be called Luna.
Luna.
The Gin Man are going to play on Thursday online. Exciting.
That sounds appropriate. Hey, I've got some results from Geraldine from their all-grades tournament. They had 17 tables down there. They felt that was a great turnout. They split the field into spades, hearts, and diamonds, I think it was. Jesse Pallinata won the spades, along with Maureen Power from Christchurch. Maureen Power is a gin club member, and Jesse is one of our recent and most illustrious graduates from the gin club.
Yeah.
Now, in the heart section, Michael Holdaway and Lee Wackrell, both from Ashburton, they are both intermediates, obviously, because they're in that section. They average 60.69% to actually win overall above Jesse and Maureen. Isn't that fantastic for the gin club?
Yeah. Talking about winning a tournament, 58-57 was enough to take you through. But now you have to get 60 plus. Sometimes
you do.
Even 65 plus.
66 the other day we had to get to win. Now the best junior pair down there were Janet Cutter and Derek Newton, both from Ashburton. And interesting little story for Barry. The standby pair, had to play. They had to make up the numbers. It was Viv Hill from Geraldine, and I'm not sure whether it's Karen or Karen Hampton from Temuka. They had never played together. They're both intermediates, and they achieved a 63.46% in the morning session. Isn't that a fantastic story?
Oh, that's the honeymoon period. Yeah, fantastic, yeah. Right.
What's coming up this weekend for Ginnies? Marlborough Restricted, Waitemata Intermediate and Junior, Omaru Intermediate and Junior, and Upper Hutt Multi Tournament. All of those are great opportunities for the Gin Club members to add to their B point totals. Remembering also that Waitemata Intermediate and the Waitemata Junior Tournament are the second tournaments on the Auckland Gin Club circuit. The junior one is full, but the intermediate one is not full. Get your entries in for that. All right, with that comment, I'll leave you to it.
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. Your tip for the week. What is that all about? You got to do.
It's all about the spades, Mariana.
What about whether they're sharp enough?
They call spades the boss suit.
Yep.
And it's the boss suit for a reason. To the extent that this guy called Pearson came up with the rule that said if the bidding goes pass, pass, pass to you and you've got maybe a 12 count or something, you should start looking at your spades. If you open the bidding and you've got 12 points and only one or two spades, the opponents are probably going to outbid you in spades. So yep. You've got the opportunity to pass the hand in and not give them a chance to outbid you in spades. That's Pearson's law or Pearson's rule. You add the number of high card points you've got, the number of spades you have, and it comes to less than 15, you don't open the bidding. I had a bit of an example of this happening just last week where my partner, he'd opened the bidding. He had a void in spades, but he had a nice hand. He had ace jack to six hearts, three little diamonds, and ace queen jack X of clubs. He opened one heart. They overcalled two diamonds, and it went pass, pass back to him. And there he was. Well, most people are thinking of bidding two hearts, or maybe they're thinking of bidding three clubs.
Yeah.
Probably not going to double because partners might bid spades, which wouldn't be too good. So anyway, at the end of the day, after giving this a lot of thought, what do you think he did?
He passed.
He did. He thought, if I bid, they're going to find their spades. And unbelievably, they had 10 spades between them, and they could actually make four spades.
But
they couldn't make two diamonds, and we couldn't make anything above two spades. So passing out two diamonds was a great decision. It was sort of a bit of Pearson's law there. He did only have a 12 count, and he had no spades at all.
Okay, what a hand.
I did hear a great story once. A friend of mine was playing in Auckland. It went pass, pass, pass around to him. It didn't qualify under Pearson's law. He only had a couple of spades. But he said he looked at the old lady on his left, and he thought, you know, little old lady. And he looked at the guy on the right, and he didn't think he looked like he knew much. So he decided he would open the bidding. And he said in a flash, he overcalled a spade, and she bid four spades, and it was cold for four spades, and they couldn't beat it. And afterwards, he was up at the bar lamenting this. He wouldn't believe it. I was playing this old lady and this guy. And I opened the bidding, and they said, do you know who that is? And he said, no, who is that? And he said, that's Dorothy Truscott and Philip Alpers. They've just flown in from the States promoting her new book. She's many times world champion. Of course, Philip Alpers is a well-known author. A really unlucky example of Pearson's law in action.
What a
hoot. There you go. Watch out for those spades.
It's Judge Julie next. Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Good morning, here Judge Julie.
Good morning.
Guess what? It's a foggy day in the Waikato.
Yeah, we're lucky. A little bit this morning, but no flights cancelled, I would think. All clear now.
So all cards have been played and turned over from the last round. No cards being played to the next round yet. And a player wants to look back at the last trick. And another player goes and says, no, 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 you can't do that. Only the declarer can do that. So Who and what can happen?
Okay, that's a really good question because there's quite a few things that have gone wrong here. All cards have been played and turned over from the last round. The round is the sets of boards that we play in a move. So when the round ends, that's when the director is calling the move. We're playing the hand, okay?
Okay.
So all cards have been played to the last trick is what we want here and turned over. And no card has been played to the next trick yet.
Right, yes.
One player wants to look back at the last trick and another player said, no, only the declarer can do that.
That's right.
No one at the table gets to tell other people at the table what the laws are without calling the director to come over and let them know what it is. There are lots of situations where there are variations like revokes and other things where what appear to be different rulings made because of different circumstances. So one player wanted to look back at the last trick. They are allowed to look back at the last trick in their hand.
Any player?
Yeah, the last trick that they've played to, they can look at that trick.
Yes.
But they cannot look at anybody else's.
Okay.
So once you've turned the card over, you can't ask to see what happened. It is too late.
Right.
And there's nothing to do with declarer. Why should declarer be allowed to do something the defenders aren't allowed to? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay. Because we're all playing the hand and we're all entitled to the same amount of failure of memory or needing to remember or whatever the case may be. Now, it might be our lead. We don't know if it's our lead or whatever it is. We just have a look. That is fine. When we play to the next trick in progress, we can't go back during that trick and look at the last trick. This is in between tricks, to be really clear about that. When something goes wrong, everyone should call the director. So we go back. If we don't know the answer as a director, we have the law book, so we can go back and read the law. And when I was taught to direct, I got told to always carry the law book with me because it changes from you being a person giving a judgment to the book giving the judgment. And that can make quite a big difference in the way people react to you. It's sort of like having armour. So really useful to have the law book with you. Which is why the old club director's exam, the open book required that you got to things quickly, because in these situations you need to be able to make a ruling quickly with the law.
I think that's a really good example, because when I was looking in the rule book, I looked under card, and then now that you said it's tricks, I looked under tricks and it's right there automatically. So getting that name right is awesome.
Yeah. So the terminology, it's at the back of the book. There's an index about terminology because it's around the laws. We might use different wording as a player, and we've got to be really careful when we're a director that we're listening to the meaning and not what people are saying.
Yeah.
Okay. We had an incident in Auckland a while ago where somebody wanted a review of a director's decision and said a lot of things that were very hard to untangle, but the net result was that they wanted a review. They weren't having an argument. And there are things where we need to listen carefully to make sure that we're understanding what a player is saying to us, because people don't know what to say. So, yes, they absolutely call the director. The people at the table very often don't know, or if they do know, it's because they've learned from somebody else that doesn't know. One of these things is like dummy can't revoke, which I got told years ago, and I couldn't find in any law book that I'd looked at where it said that dummy couldn't revoke. So someone's taken the revoke law, misread it, misinterpreted it, and then translated it across a large number of people.
Okay? So they all had the wrong information.
Yeah, so we all knew, and we were all wrong.
Okay.
The question is, who can look and how do we remember who is on lead?
Yeah.
You can look at your last card. If your card is still face up from the trick that was played and you haven't played to the next trick, then ask to see the cards that were played to that trick. Just because your opponent decides that you're taking too long and starts to play to the next trick doesn't say that you can't look at the last trick, because they shouldn't be playing until you've turned your card over.
Oh, so if they do while your card is still face up, doesn't mean anything then because you can still ask them
No, if
to.
your opponent is trying to hurry you up, is probably what that means, and there may be good reason for that, because we don't have a huge amount of time to play each hand. All right, but if you have got your card up and you are thinking about asking people, "What have you got?" then you can do that. All right.
But the moment it's face down.
Once you turn the card over, that is it. You say to someone, "Oh, did you follow suit?" and your card's turned over. They do not have to answer you, and they absolutely do not show you. Okay. Now, the biggest issue that comes up with cards being turned over is when there has been a revoke somewhere, sometime, somehow. And we and get it, I get it with particularly with beginners and that, because we're so busy teaching the rules to play, we're not really doing much else. So really importantly is no player can touch another player's card. The clearer can touch dummy in the course of the play, though we strongly recommend and prefer that they call the card from dummy. And it is in the clearer's best interest to do that, because it's you lose track when you go between hands by having to touch things. Once you're turned over, you can't lean over and start moving the cards around, even if you're the clearer and your partner's dummy. You're not allowed to start riffling through the cards to see what happened or didn't happen in the course of trying to determine a revoke. Your opponents are not allowed to touch your cards or their partner's cards, and
Well,
they are
most
not
times
allowed
that
to.
does happen is when the person doing the electronic scoring, they missed what the lead card was and they start turning it over. So you can
No.
smack their hands and say, "Don't
You're
touch
not
my
allowed.
card."
When there's been a revoke, you don't get to start rearranging your cards. And a director's nightmare, apart from the board being turned around the wrong way, is trying to untangle when there's been a revoke and going through the cards when somebody's decided to rearrange them. The other thing that happens is other people pick up their cards and put the cards away, and now you don't even have the information. Right? Now, to a large degree, there will be equity coming in here about what occurred and what didn't occur, or you might be able to determine that it did occur. It's not the end of the hand because you've been called, and people should know better. So they can look at their last trick before the lead to make sure, like declaring, am I on lead or is dummy on lead? Or the opponents. It's not just a declare thing. So the defenders are allowed to look at the last trick that they played in their hand. Sometimes we need to. We have short-term memories. If we're concerned about a revoke or anything else happening, we call the director always. We don't have to own up to a revoke, but if we are concerned about a revoke having occurred, we call the director and we do not start fiddling around and moving cards. At the end of the hand, when we come to agree the score, we agree the score and then put away the cards. This is not waiting for the score to go into the electronic device. This is just agreeing that this is the score. When you get called to the table and one person in a partnership is arguing that they disagree with the score and the other person has put their cards away because they have agreed with it, then generally we're going to be happy that the score stands. I had one the other week where it
It
was clear
wasn't
that they
suspicious,
couldn't have made the contract that was claimed. And 100%, it was just impossible. So I went back and talked to them about that. But there are a lot of things about the cards being there. So agree the score with the cards out, then you can put them away while the person is putting the score in the tablet. So, player, if you've got your cards away, then the board can be moved on to the next table while East West move on, and then you can bring the tablet over to the next people. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do to speed play up in that area as well.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for that.
That's quite all
Hopefully the
right.
big B can sort his connections out for next week and join us.
Being a farmer, you should be used to being outside in the cold.
He should be. That's right.
Okay, have a good week.
I bumped into Blair at the Sixes and he said, oh, well, I will see you down in Dunedin playing the South Island Piers. And I said, yeah, yeah. He's playing with Jack O'Rourke.
Fisher and Jack James he's talking about, listeners.
So for all of you from, let's say, Taupo up, you're going to have two people to follow. And whoops, people, sorry, but here's the last of our chat with Judge Julie about slow play. 7 minutes, Barry.
7 minutes.
7 minutes?
Yep. When you have multiple wards, you'll find that in general they will take less because you're not moving between them. But when you think of the fact that we used to play one board a table and we played 6.5 minutes a round, whereas now we play 7 minutes and we are still very, very fast in New Zealand.
The national coaching thing that we've got on at the moment, they're talking about people playing too quickly and that we should be, you know, international level or whatever, they should be taking 8 minutes aboard.
The thing about that is if we go overseas, I think we get 9 minutes or something behind screens per board.
Oh.
Screens take longer. Right? Absolutely, you get given additional time having screens.
I must admit, when we're playing in the Akarana tournaments on Tuesdays, like tonight, I'm often sitting there waiting and wondering what's going on behind us. And I keep looking at the lights to see whose turn it is. Two yellow lights up. Why haven't they done anything? Enough time for me to think, oh, why isn't it my turn yet?
So when you're behind screens, you don't know who's taking the time behind them. You might have an idea, but in general, you don't know who's taking the time behind the screen. So the lights will show up that for both of them. It's not about which one is taking time. It's about that it's behind the screen. So you don't know which person there has taken the time.
Okay.
Whereas normally, without screens, you can see it going around the table.
Mm.
So when it's behind the screen, you don't see which player is taking time by the lighting up of anything.
See, I reckon that one good thing about screens, like if you were playing bridge with the bailiff, Mariana, he definitely looks better behind a screen, I've found.
That's all we've got for you folks this week. Take care, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.